everyone, and welcome to Vassals of Kingsgrave. Today, we will be talking about the first season of Marvel's Jessica Jones. Joining me today are Maddie.
Hi, everyone. It's Nymeria on the forums.
And Jock.
Hello, Jock. Mandel Jock to you on the forums.
And I'm Nadia. This episode will contain spoilers for the first season of Marvel's Jessica Jones and possibly for the other Marvel Netflix shows. Okay, now that we know that the second season of Jessica Jones is coming out pretty soon, we're just gonna talk about the first season. So first, we'll start off with rating. What did you think of it, Mari?
Alright, so I had a great memory of it, and then I just rewatched it, and I think I like it less. I don't know. I mean, I'll get into why. But overall, it's still really, really an enjoyable show and very interesting. I think I have a lot of there are a lot of interesting things I want to talk about. I don't know, maybe like 4 out of 5. Whatever you want to rate this in. Punches. Well, 4 out of 5, yeah. It's great. I was a bit, like, rewatching, I felt like there were some issues because mostly it's very kind of frustrating the whole season. Like, nothing goes their way. I mean, the good people way. And so, yeah, you kind of like, people keep dying and there's no victory at any time. It's just a big chase to the end, but I think the character moments are very interesting and the relationships mostly, yeah.
I'd give it 4 out of 5. So really great drama with so much so that even if the superpowers were taken out of it, it would still be good story.
Yeah, I'd give it, again, a solid 4 out of 5. I think there were a couple of story arcs that maybe could have been taken out that I didn't really enjoy, but other than that, I thought it was a great show. I think it brought some very important issues into focus, and it's and like Jock said, even if you take like the superhero stuff out, it's still a really good show, because Jessica's powers aren't, you know, like, very in your face. She's just strong. That's it. So it's a pretty good show, and we'll get into it more.
Yeah. I think the fact that it could also work with that deep powers is interesting, because most of this is about, like, people having, like, I mean, like, Kilgrave is completely twisted, but basically, he's weirdly in love and wants to be with her, which is completely the way he does everything is completely wrong. But so my point is, for all of these issues and relationships and everyone's trauma is really human and normal. Like, it's just people with powers having these issues, so obviously it's much more intense, but it's normal issues. Like, I mean, normal. I mean, it's not a mafia of Chinese people, or I don't know. It's a bit more,
you know, the hand.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, it's more, it's closer to the people and the feelings and psychology than it is to whatever big threat there is on New York City today.
Yeah, it's very personal in a way, right? I mean, this person is directly out for Jessica, and he's not looking to destroy an entire city or anything. He's just, he wants Jessica. That's basically it.
Yeah.
It's very small scale in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes it very interesting.
Yeah, in a different way. I mean, I guess with all the Marvel Netflix shows, you have kind of the whole spectrum Like, there's Jessica Jones, where it's very personal. And then, I guess, at the other hand, at the other end, you have Behind. And a character like Danny, who is really, like, I don't know. I mean, let's not get into that. But I mean, it's... Yeah, but he's on the other end of the spectrum. That's what I mean. With this big threat on New York and the world. And Jessica Jones is the complete opposite of that. It's interesting that they can do all of that.
Okay, so anyone do you want to share what your favorite moment was, or the most interesting character or moment?
So I guess it goes with what I was just saying, but like, one moment I really enjoyed was when she's with, I don't remember her name, the woman who fake hired her to look into her husband because she actually wanted to trap her and, like, make an example out of her for all the gifted people. And when Jessica gets there and understands what's going on, she's like, what the fuck is wrong with you people? Like, leave me alone. You don't have to take your shit out on other people. And she doesn't do that. She's like, I found her reaction very genuine. Like, really, what the fuck is wrong? Like, leave me be. And that was one of the moments I particularly enjoyed with Jessica. Because a lot of the time she's not opening too much, but in that scene it was really, really real and genuine. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think the most interesting thing about Jessica is she doesn't have that, you know, in every story about superheroes we see the central character carry the weight of the world on their shoulders. You know, they feel this guilt for everything that's happening around them about not being able to stop it. But Jessica is different. She doesn't feel guilty. She has other issues and she has PTSD, which is so understandable. But she doesn't feel guilty about, you know, failing people or her reaction is so practical. She's like, it wasn't my fault that your mother died. Like, I wasn't the one who killed her, or, you know, it wasn't my fault, basically. Yeah, it might have been some gifted person's fault, but it wasn't me. Which is, you know, very reasonable.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I'm just a normal person. Like, yeah, I'm freakishly strong, but just, she has none of, I mean, compared to Daredevil, for example, there's like nothing in common in the way they view their role in the society, and I mean, obviously we could see that as just an actual, like, a comparison to actual real society where people are just afraid of people that are not like them, and this scene makes it so terribly really, it's just the hypocrisy and the stupidity of being just like someone that maybe has something to do with you is maybe not really actually responsible for the death of my mother, so I'm just gonna take it out on you. And that's just stupid. And I think this scene made that really clearly, but without being too over the top. Yeah,
and it's just wrong to call this moment my favorite, but I think the first episode is probably the most powerful to me, especially, you know, when Jessica realizes that it's Kilgrave and she goes to that restaurant and she realizes that it's Kilgrave who's back from the dead. And then when, you know, Hope kills her parents, that is just so, I think that's when this series had me hooked. And that's probably, like, one of my favorite moments. Favorite is the wrong word to use.
Yeah, yeah. It's very strong.
It's the most powerful. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of moments that I like, actually. Most of her conversations with Kilgrave, again, not favorite, like you, yeah, like you're saying, because it's always very ew and creepy and no, but it's always fascinating, I think.
I liked when they had him captured.
That was tough to watch when he was her prisoner, yeah.
I find most Kilgrave scenes tough to watch, though.
Yeah, he is creepy on a whole different level.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's just because it's David Tennant, because I love this guy, so obviously it was also a difficult watch for me, because I cannot really enjoy him being a villain, even though he's tremendously good at it. But I did sympathize with Kilgrave's character. It's just everything is wrong with the way he views life and people. But I don't know, the whole scene where Jessica is just playing the tapes of him screaming and crying and as a kid, just it's terrible. I think there were some genuine suffering, and like when he was her prisoner, there were genuine moments where he felt where he suffered and where he felt regret. Maybe not regret, but like something that disturbed him in his way of thinking and got to him. But
I mean, he does have, like, when he makes that point, but you know, I never know who's expressing their genuine feelings, because I can make anyone do anything. I just can't tell the difference whether they're doing it of their own free will or they're doing it because I've told them to. Like, it's understandable that he cannot control his powers, right? He says something. Yeah. And obviously this has been happening since he was a child. And as an adult, you can, you know, learn to phrase your sentences in a way that cannot be construed as an instruction. But when he was a child, he could even make his parents do anything. And you can understand why that would warp his, you know, understanding of the world.
Yes, exactly. I mean, well, obviously, it's not as simple as that, because, like, I didn't remember it well. So when he's presenting this as my parents tortured me and that's why I'm like this, I was into it. Obviously, we find out right after that it's not quite like that. They were trying to save him, and it gave him power, and then he abused that for 4 years before they actually left. But still, like, he was a kid being, I mean, the whole, even if it was to save him, it's still terrible to make your child suffer like that. I don't know if, I mean, and yeah. So all of this obviously shaped him, and then he was just left alone from like age 10. So obviously, I mean, there's no way this person is going to be anywhere near sane.
Right.
And he really wants Jessica to actually love him, even though I don't know if he understands the concept of that.
I think in Jessica, he sees someone who could possibly be equal to him, since she has powers of her own.
Yeah.
Which is why he's so obsessed with her.
Yeah.
I think that was the whole reason why he initially took Jessica under his control. He saw her,
saving Malcolm.
Exactly. Yeah. And he just, you know, he had this opportunity to have a relationship, if you can call it that, with someone who could possibly be, you know, equal to him.
And I mean, he's testing things out. He he has her in his control, and then he wants to see if there is anything close to actual affection, so he lets the control wear off slightly to just see that. So I think it's very, like, it's very tragic that he wants that. He has just no, he's so wrong on every level that it's just terrible. The fact that he doesn't, like, the word rape actually shocks him. Like, no, that it's nowhere near that. But yeah, obviously it is. Obviously it is rape. She was in no way.
Yeah, she didn't give her consent.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's really something else.
Yeah. But yeah, again, that was again a very powerful moment where, you know, he let his control over her fade for just a little time to see what she would do, how she would react, you know, to testing whether she loved him too. And it was just, and the thing is, at that point, Jessica didn't try to kill him, even though it had worn off.
Yeah.
So that's.
But I think that her response to that is still very interesting, like, because she didn't try to kill him, but she didn't kiss him because she felt affection for him. She kissed him because she didn't want him to realize she was not in his control anymore. So it just shows, like, that he wants to see, he sees what he really wants to see. He interpreted that as a way, I mean, as her kissing him over her own will, and that's not what it was.
And that's basically how she manages to get him in the end too. Like, he does really want to believe that she is under his control completely, and he can't see that. And the other very important relationship in the series is probably Trish and Jessica, which is so, which is like kind of like the central relationship in this story. And it's just refreshing to see it not being a romantic relationship. Instead, it's just one between best friends or sisters.
Yeah, I really like Trish. I mean, she's probably kind of a too good to be true character. But she's, I mean, you can't not love her, basically.
Yeah. I mean, she's not perfect, but yeah, she's a great character. Like, I really like her. And, you know, I wonder how she turned out that normal, considering her childhood.
Her mother? Oh my God, yes. I mean, which also that shows must have been, that...
No, I'm just saying that must have been, like, so traumatizing, being forced to do God knows what in front of the whole world. And yet turn out like a decent human being. It's an amazing accomplishment.
Yeah, I think it shows that, yes, Kilgrave has nothing going on for him, so it's very difficult for him to be anything normal. But she also has a very difficult childhood, and she turns out fine, so it's not all nurture, it's also nature.
True.
Yeah. But yeah, they have a great relationship. On the other hand, I'm not sure the whole Simpson thing was really necessary. Like, do we really need
that's the storyline I did not enjoy.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't too bad at first, like him being this random cop sent to kill Trish and then being all guilty about it, and that was okay. And the way he wants to redeem for that, that was okay. The whole private organization combat drug enhancement stuff was too much.
Right.
It was not
exactly.
in.
I,
yeah.
I understand that they're trying to set up the next season.
Yeah,
but
that's
it's
true.
Just I did not enjoy that whole arc at all. I mean, yeah, exactly. I was fine up until the point that he was, you know, trying to redeem himself. But then as soon as, you know, we started to get his history, that's when I was like, oh, enough.
Yeah. It was not in the right tone with everything else in the season, I guess. It's too much big conspiracy.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Where everything else is so personal, this seemed like totally out of the... something that took us out of the central storyline.
Yeah.
Whereas everything else links in right to, you know, Jessica, especially, you know, Malcolm and even Ruben. And even though that was, again, kind of annoying storyline, but, you know, at least it was still relevant to Jessica.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I found it more tragic than really annoying. I mean, the whole Ruben thing is really, really, like, so sad. And
it was. Ruben was fine. The sister was just a little over the top.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the whole therapy group thing did not work very well either. Simply because the characters in that were too minor to be really interesting. I think it's more about Malcolm, I guess, and his will to, like, be a fuse. But, yeah, it was not completely... I mean, it fit into the show because they were important for that whole restaurant and Hope dying scene, but yeah. And what do you think of the whole Hogarth arc?
I actually didn't mind that too much. Like, yeah, it was a little more detailed than I would have liked. Like, it was but then again, this is also to set up Jerry Hogarth as a character that will show up in the other Netflix shows as well.
Yeah.
So I can kind of understand that.
Yeah. I actually enjoy that character. I think she's pretty interesting.
Yeah. I do actually like Jerry Hogarth. But just, some of her, you know, marital drama was a little,
yeah, it wasn't quite relevant to Jessica, but it was really relevant to her, in making Hogarth a more important and interesting character. Like, it builds the way she is. And no, I didn't think that was too much, actually. Wendy and Pam, all of that is really to make Jerry Hogarth more, she has more, I mean, she's a deeper character than she would have been without those details, I think.
Well, yeah, I agree, but I just, I mean, I liked it, I thought it was, there was a lot of it.
Yeah.
I actually liked the scene where, you know, she took Kilgrave to her wife and, and how that ended, I actually did. Again, enjoying is the wrong one.
Yeah, but yeah, that moment, that scene is really strong as well, yeah. Not enjoyable, but really, yeah, takes your breath away.
Yeah, the death by a thousand cuts was just...
Yeah.
It was painful to watch.
Yeah.
Oh, and we should talk about Hope Stockman, which is like the... such a tragic character.
Mm.
This is probably just from the very beginning, like, you know, that scene in the hotel room where she was like, you know, I can't leave this bed. And you start to realize how powerful Kilgrave really is. Like, he's been gone for hours at this point and she still can't disobey him. And that's when you start to get a sense.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. That's when you really understand. But all of the other characters don't, because they don't see that, or they haven't been subjected to his control. And one frustrating thing in the whole season is that it's character after character who doesn't completely believe that he's going to be that powerful or that twisted, or and people not thinking that that this is such a big deal as Jessica makes it to be. And that was frustrating.
Yeah. And also just when Hope killed her parents, how much therapy can you give a person? I'm just, when she's talking to Jessica about, you know, he was like, he just kept making me jump and jump over and over again because he said you were really good at it. And then she was like, you should have stayed with him. You should have stayed to make sure he died. And that's, again, that's kind of a departure from other superheroes where, you know, they're like, yeah, we're not going to kill people no matter what. But this is, you know, in this one, they're definitely making the point that sometimes it's unavoidable. You have to kill the person. Otherwise, you know, Kilgrave isn't the kind of person that you keep as a prisoner.
Yeah.
Somebody mind control, that's just, you know, asking for it, basically.
Yeah, although I do think that Jessica is still going to be haunted by his death. And, I mean, not his death, but the fact that she did kill him in cold blood. And, I mean, one of the very last scenes of the season is Hogarth defending her and saying he forced her to snap his own neck. And you can see that Jessica wants to say, no, I did it of my own free will. That was me. She doesn't, because she's not stupid. She understands that she shouldn't be in prison all of her life. So she's going to go with this lie. But I still think it's a shocking moment for Trish, for Jessica to actually do that, to actually kill someone without anyone telling you, forcing you to do so.
Well, yeah, but then taking into account Jessica's character, like how severe her PTSD is, how severe her trauma is, it's understandable. And considering Kilgrave's powers, I wouldn't blame her.
I'm not blaming her. I'm not saying she shouldn't have done that. It's not just I killed him, it's over, we can move on. I think it's still going to be an issue for her.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I'm sure that's going to carry on into season two. Because I think David Tennant is returning for the second season, right?
I think.
So I'm assuming either they're going to have flashbacks to the time that to the first time that he had Jessica prisoner, or it's going to be, you know, she's still going to have, like, visions and stuff about
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. I don't know if they didn't want to... I mean, he was a very big part of season one, and a very... I mean, I think David Tennant did really, really great, so probably they wanted to keep him in a bit longer.
Yeah. We should also talk about Jessica and Luke Cage. This is,
yeah,
if that's like the big relationship Jessica has, the other big relationship she has in the show. I actually really like them together, like especially their first scene. He's like, Jessica's like, you're not going to break me, and Luke Cage is like, no, I think I can break you. And they don't, neither of them know that the other one has powers.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
Yeah. I do like them together. But at the same time, I think, well, I mean, we've all seen what happens next anyway, but there's been too much. I mean, from the beginning, Jessica is stalking him because she killed his wife and she wants, I don't know, to see what happens in his life. So that's not very a very sane basis for a relationship. And all that happens afterwards. I mean, yeah. And yes, he's Kilgraved, but he still spends like a day with her and being all, I want to be with you, and it's all fake. And that's hard to, and then he tries to kill her. And that's also hard to come back from, I guess.
In the comics, I know that they end up together, like they end up married. But yeah,
oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, they do. But I think in the Luke Cage series, they definitely set him up, like they're Claire Temple and Luke Cage.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. But then in the last scene of The Defenders, there was something again between Jessica and Luke Cage. So you never know if they come back to it, but I don't know. I actually Claire Temple and Luke Cage together.
Me too.
But it was fun to see while it lasted. You know, see Jessica and Luke together. But yeah, again, like Jessica having killed his wife, there's not much you can do to come back from that.
Yes.
And then Luke tries to kill Jessica and Jessica shoots him. And it's not good. <end.
laughs> Yeah. But it's nice, like it was part of The Defenders. I really enjoyed I enjoyed seeing them again together, like not together romantically, but fighting together and stuff like that. So I think it's interesting that they have this connection. They have a good connection.
Yeah, Luke is such a nice guy, basically. Like he's really nice, basically. And Jessica is kind of the opposite. She's very sarcastic, and you know, and it's nice to see them play off of each other.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Oh, and one thing I was going to ask was when Jessica had Kilgrave in that sealed room and she sent in his mother, do you think his remorse was actually real when his mother was kind of like trying to talk to him? Do you think it was real until she tried to kill him?
I bought it. I don't know. I bought it because I want to see everything good in him, so even though there's not a lot of that.
Yeah, I mean, Kilgrave has been messed up for a long time. Like, he, you know, tried to get his mother to burn herself for, but yeah, again, that scene was very powerful until she tried to kill him.
Like, it's mid-season, so you know it's not going to be the end of this. You know they're not going to get the confession they need. But it's still that whole thing, like it, this big setup and all these characters coming together, and then it all goes to shit. Was both powerful and frustrating. But I think without Simpson killing the cop and burning the whole thing down, it would have been frustrating. But there would have been something out of it still. Which just...
But why would he... Why did he... I still don't know. Why did he kill that cop? Why did he burn the whole place down? Like, Kilgrave is like the most powerful character we know, right? And he could have saved it for like a backup. I understand that Simpson wanted to kill him. That's fine. He could have gone after Kilgrave. But, you know, just have this as a backup plan in case it doesn't work out, in case he doesn't manage to kill Kilgrave. They should still have, you know, some evidence for backup.
Yeah, I think that by that point, Simpson is so high on his combat enhancement drugs that there's nothing rational about the whole thing. Like, he wants Kilgrave to die, he wants to be the one to do it, and then he wants to kill everyone who doesn't want him to do that. It's just crazy. Like,
evidence was not going to stop him. But the evidence was not going to stop him from killing Kilgrave. It's just that
it's too far gone. It could have. I mean, they have the proof they need. They have the evidence that Kilgrave is a mind controller. So then that's not going to kill him, but that's going to make him, that's going to reveal him to the public. But I agree. It makes no sense. But I just think the whole point was, he's not going to prison. I'm going to kill him. But yeah. Yeah, but that whole thing, I'm guessing, I don't know if we're going to see him again, but I'm assuming season two is about all that and this private company that might be responsible for Jessica's power, so we might see him.
Yeah, I'm assuming he's going to come back since that doctor took him away and they're the ones that gave Jessica her power. So I'm assuming that he's coming back.
Yeah.
And now Trish has taken those combat enhancement drugs too, so.
Yeah. But it doesn't seem to have such a big hold. I don't know. I mean, like.
Maybe because she's only done it once.
Yeah. I don't think that's going to be an issue. I hope not.
I hope not. I like Trish.
Yeah.
There is speculation that Trish might also end up as a superhero. Jessica's original identity.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Was it Jewel, I think?
Was it really, or was it, I don't know if that was Trish's suggestion. I mean,
I think in the comics that's Jessica Jones' original identity.
Alright.
Yeah.
I think in the show it's confirmed that she kind of tried it. Being the superhero, but it's not said what name she used or.
But they do have that costume, I think.
Yeah, they have the costume in the conversation
Oh yeah, why is Jessica immune to Kilgrave's powers? Do you have a theory for that? Being the scientist that you are.
I mean, the whole thing, I'm not sure the whole thing makes sense anyway. Like, he's supposed to be a virus. So, if it is like actually a virus, him dying shouldn't do anything. Like, the virus should still be acting over the period of time it's supposed to act. And then, if he is really, it is really a virus, what, I mean... It's not about hearing him, obviously. I mean, but then he can control people over the radio, so maybe it is just about hearing him. I mean, it doesn't really, it's not very consistent throughout, I think.
Yeah, exactly. The science is not very consistent. But I was just thinking that since it's a virus, it's compared to a virus, maybe that's why Jessica has kind of like, built up an immunity since she was exposed to it for so long.
Yeah, maybe.
Her body just kind of built up the, you know, immunity. I don't know. That's my own theory.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the whole thing that she had to kill Reva and that's what severed the link between them. I'm not sure I buy into that. Because other people have killed following Kilgrave's orders and it didn't break the link between them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah. Even I think when she was going to kill Reva, did she resist at all? Or did she just do it and then she walked
in? Yeah, the way they pictured it is she did it and then walked away, yeah.
Yeah. But that's again a very powerful scene, you know, that's just David Tennant's amazing acting, just him saying Jessica, that just kind of sticks with you. You can't forget that.
Yeah.
Oh, and then they're also setting up another show with this when they have that thumb drive. That's what Luke Cage goes looking for in his scene. So they are kind of like setting up the next one.
I think it's something I enjoy with this Netflix Marvel collaboration is that it's all very consistent between the shows. It makes sense. Same, like you can see that it was all planned. Like because Reva, the actress playing Reva in this, in Jessica Jones, is the same as in Luke Cage, right?
Yeah, right.
So just that is also, I mean, it's nice to have like these four or five, if you count the Defenders shows, intertwined and the whole thing consistent. It's good because it's not as frequent as we would want in TV or even in the movies. There's a lot of discrepancies, so.
True. Like again, like with, you know, with Claire Temple or with Jerry Hogarth, you know, you yeah. have these recurring characters who turn up in every show, and that's interesting. You know, if Jerry Hogarth is the best lawyer around in New York, then she should be the best one in all the shows, which she mm-hmm. is. Which just makes it, you know, very coherent.
Yeah, it's neat.
Yeah, exactly. And also again, I think what makes Jessica Jones such a great show is having a great villain.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Daredevil had going for it in season one. Like, you know, Wilson Fisk is like probably the most amazing villain ever.
Mm-hmm.
Not ever, maybe, but he's one of the best. And again, Kilgrave is also amazing. And I think that's the problem I had with Iron Fist, was that it was such an, the hand was so anonymous, basically, that it just didn't have the same effect. So I think you need a strong villain to make a superhero show good.
Yeah, I completely agree.
So here's hoping that season two will also have a very strong villain. But I have a feeling that it's going to be an organization. And I think organizations never turn out well, like they never turn out to be as scary as one person.
Yeah, because with an organization, you can be scared of. I mean, yeah, you're scared of the whole thing, but there's no actual villain with great presence like Wilson Fisk or Kilgrave. They just have such an impact on Daredevil or on Jessica Jones. It's the impact is just not the same.
Yeah, because you know they're one person. They have emotions of their own, and the hero kind of gets off of those emotions. So it kind mm-hmm. of. It makes for better interaction and, you know, just a better show.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree. Okay. Did you want to mention anything else?
Oh, yeah. Jessica's PTSD is not just from Kilgrave. It's from being in the same car when her entire family died. So she kind of has survivors getting that. And then Kilgrave happened. And, you know, it's just, she has had a very tragic life.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I think she's stark.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's understandable why her character has turned out this way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I cannot understand why she can still walk around, considering how much she drinks and never eats.
Yeah. Her life really doesn't make sense. Like, she never eats. She's into fights all the time. She does heal faster than most, but she's not unbreakable. She just drinks.
Yeah. In The Defenders, there's this one scene where Jessica's like, am I the only one who doesn't have ninja skills? That was funny. Like, she just relies on her brute strength. That's it.
Yeah.
But
I really enjoyed her in The Defenders. She was I loved her in The Defenders, yeah, basically.
Yeah, she worked well with Matt Murdock and And you know, she always worked well with Luke Cage, so it was fun to see Jessica in that. Yeah. And Kristen Ritter has done an amazing job as Jessica Jones. Like, she's amazing.
That's funny because I wasn't as convinced this time around, I guess. I don't know. I don't know if it's the character or the actress, but there were times where I was not as into it as the first time I watched it. I don't quite know why, but I feel like, I mean, I love Jessica's character, I really do, but I do feel that sometimes she's a bit too alone and independent, and I'm gonna Jesus myself, and very hard and brash, you know what I mean? She's tough mm-hmm. shit, like Luke said. Yeah, anyway, I wasn't as convinced with Jessica as I was before, I guess, maybe.
But I think in the first episode, like, she starts out with basically trying to run away from the problem. Yeah. And it's Trish who kind of talks her back from that. Like, you know, she's like, you can fight back instead of running away.
Yeah, overall, I was really convinced with her. It was just a few scenes where I don't quite know why. I don't know. She was also, like, that has nothing to do with anything. But she kind of looks like my sister in some sense. And my sister is an actress. I mean, she wants to be. And that's also the kind of role that she would take on, like this kind of very traumatized character who's quite rude to everyone but still soft somewhere inside. So yeah, it made me think of my sister and how she would interpret that. I don't know if it has anything to do with why I liked or didn't like the actress performance. I don't know, but it was fun.
Thank you everyone for joining us. You can always find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. And you can always find us on the forums at A Podcast of Ice and Fire. You can always go to our WordPress page, vokpodcast.wordpress.com. Thank you all for joining us. Thank you.
one of the things I found quite good about it was David Tennant's acting, like, combined with what I've seen him in before. Because he's such a charming actor normally. It creates a sort of uneasiness to Kilgrave's character when you see him being a lot less pleasant a person than he normally plays.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing how well he does in this character. Like.
Yeah.
And again, I think Mary had the same, like,
yeah, totally.
Dr. Alec Hardy.
Yeah. That too.
Which don't really fit with Kilgrave.
Have you guys seen Broadchurch?
Yeah.
Yeah. That date he had, it was so funny. Was it the first season?
Oh my god, yeah. Incredible. It was so funny and so cute, so sweet.
Yeah. And like, I want to watch a show of just that.
Yeah.
Well, the writer of Broadchurch is interestingly now also the writer of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
I've actually never watched Doctor Who.
it's really something different.
Yeah, and it's kind of intimidating to start. It's been around for so long.
Yeah, exactly. That's very true. But then I think...
Oh, it's what, 50 years?
Yeah, but like I've only watched the new Who show, and it's perfectly fine this way. So, but
yeah.
It's still been around for long if you only count the new, actually. So,
yeah, exactly.